Next Tuesday, Atlanta voters pick a new mayor. With 9 candidates vying for the office, campaign fundraising and robocalls are playing a major role in the race. It's a hot-button issue as the feds investigate pay-to-play contracts at City Hall, a joint investigation by the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and Georgia News Lab examines the flow of money from city contractors to the campaigns. I'm joined by AJC reporter Dan Kleppel and Georgia News Lab reporter Ryan Basden. Good morning to both of you.
Morning. Morning.
Dan, let me start with you. What was the central question that you wanted an answer to in this investigation?
Right. We wanted to see how much influence contractors and city vendors were having in the election in terms of how much money they were giving to the various candidates. And we thought that was important because of the federal bribery investigation that you referenced earlier.
And absolutely clear at this point, given your years of reporting in this area, that money equals influence?
I think most people would agree with that. Mm. And one of the questions we asked was, how important is money in a local race compared to a statewide race or a national race? And universally, the answer was just as important. You need less of it because there's the election is smaller. There's fewer voters, so there's less ground to cover. But the money buys the same things as it does statewide. You know, television and radio advertising, direct mail, those glossy flyers that fill up your mailbox.
Yeah.
You know, campaign staff and polling and all kinds of things.
Right. Did you think going into the project that there would be actually less money flowing into the mayor's race this cycle because of the investigation that's ongoing?
Well, we weren't sure. And honestly, I don't think anyone's ever quantified the amount of money coming from city vendors and contractors. We were able to do so because we have a database of city payments to city vendors from 2010 to 2014. And so we were able to take, and Ryan was a big part of this, we were able to take campaign finance disclosures and compare it to that database and kind of get a handle on, you know, how much money was coming in.
Hey, Ryan, how good has the campaign finance reporting been in this cycle? Give it a letter grade.
Overall,
you're a student.
Overall, from the AJC.
Yeah.
Overall, oh gosh, I'd give it an F if I'm honest.
You'd give it an F.
Yeah, and there's a reason for that, and the prime reason is that the way all of these campaign finance reports are actually published and given to the public, or put in a place where the public can access them,
right,
they're not in a form that's readable and even useful by anyone without a skill set that someone at the AJC or someone at the Georgia News Lab might have a data processing skill set. Or
you need a data processing skill set to be able to understand the forms and what's on the forms, what's not on the forms in order to access this kind of information?
Or a lot of time on your hands to read.
Or a lot of time.
Yeah, so we would get these reports in the forms of PDFs, and some of these PDFs would be hundreds of pages, and there's 2-3 contributions per page. So unless you have a lot of printer ink and a lot of paper and a lot of room to print all these out and sit and read through them, you're not going to get an idea of who's contributing to who and why. Now, what we had to do was we had to take those PDFs, and if you've ever worked with a PDF, you know that they're not friendly.
It's a nightmare, right?
Right.
It can be.
So we had to take those and we had to convert those to spreadsheets, and not just spreadsheets, but spreadsheets that we could analyze and pull metrics from, totals. We had to make sense of all of this stuff. And there were 3 to 4 reports minimum per candidate. And when we started, we were looking at 13 or 14
candidates. Isn't there an easier way to do this? Can't you do this electronically?
You can, but it's not easy. Electronic, in this case, does not mean easy.
Does not mean easy. Okay, so I don't want to run out of time before, Dan, we get to some of the findings.
Mm-hmm.
So Ryan and the team are working on the data dive,
right,
the crunching. Mm-hmm. And then you're writing the stories, you're, you know, putting all of this together. Mm-hmm. What were some of the major findings?
Well, we found that city vendors contributed hundreds of thousands of dollars, and that's a conservative figure, hundreds of thousands of dollars to the various candidates.
Why conservative?
Well, because the some of the issues that Ryan was talking about, those campaign finance disclosures quite often were not filled out completely, which limited our ability to connect people with companies that are doing business with the city. If a person donates and doesn't say who their employer is, it's impossible. It's very difficult for us to make that connection unless you know who that individual is and where they work. So, and that's what we were searching for, employers, addresses that matched with an employer. And we're searching through a database of, I think it was 40,000 payments or more from the city to companies. So matching, these people and these companies that donated with companies that did business with the city was a pretty difficult task.
Wow. It doesn't sound like a very difficult thing to do, to fill out a disclosure form properly. So what's going on here? Is it the campaigns not following up with folks who are making donations, companies that are making donations? What's happening here?
I think your mileage varies case to case. Although I will say that a couple of the candidates, Keisha Lance Bottoms comes to mind, had just tremendous amounts of missing information. For example, in her campaign finance reports, we found 20% of her donors did not list an employer. So I think, occasional lapses or occasional blank spots on these PDFs is understandable, but when you have a whole ocean of them, it's more difficult to explain away. And I honestly don't know the reasons for why these forms aren't filled out correctly.
Well, what is required? I guess what I'm asking is, what is legally required in these filing documents?
Sure. So if you give a donation to a candidate, you're supposed to give your name, your address, your employer's address, and your telephone number. And that's really all we needed to do this analysis.
Well, that's pretty simple.
Well, you would think that a candidate trying to run the city of Atlanta would be able to master campaign finance disclosure reports.
Right. And another way, Ryan, to sort of check what's happening here is through disclosures on expenditures, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what did you find in that area? Were the candidates filling out the expenditure disclosures properly and completely?
In most cases, yes. In a few extreme cases, no. Keisha Lance Bottoms was kind of our serial information.
Okay, so what's happening with Keisha? what's going on here?
So Dan was talking about contribution info missing.
Yeah.
That was a problem across the board. I would say more candidates had that problem than others. One of the things we found with Keisha Lance Bottoms, and this is why I can't attribute the missing data just to people contributing, is because on her expenditure reports that would come in the same document as the contributions, there would be a purpose field for spending this money. And so there would be entries where she was spending thousands of dollars here, thousands of dollars there. And we would have a company name, but those are ambiguous a lot. And the purpose field would be completely empty.
Right.
So we have thousands of dollars going in all these different directions. We have no idea why. And so, but there are no contributors responsible for filling out that information, right? That money it belongs to the campaign. They're spending that money. They know exactly where it's going. They're just not putting it down.
Okay, so Keisha Lance Bottoms is having these problems. Are there other candidates who are having the same issues?
Yeah, I would say we found these types of issues pretty much across the board.
Pretty consistently.
It was just a matter of degree. And like I said, Ms. Lance Bottoms had 20% of her employer fields left empty, and we're talking about thousands of donors. So that one really stood out to us. In fact, we mentioned that in the story. But sure, Mitchell, Norwood, Amon, Woolard, they all, to one degree or another, had issues on their reports.
That's AJC reporter Dan Kleppel, and Georgia News Lab reporter Ryan Baisden is with us as well. Dan, let me ask you this. Are the major candidates promising some kind of reform, procurement reform in as part of their campaign? And if they are, the fact that they're not filling out these forms properly seems to be sending out a bad signal.
It's become a central issue in the campaign, and pretty much every major candidate has talked about the need for procurement reform in terms of how the city does business with contractors. Many have called for an audit of the procurement department. Of course, the U.S. Attorney's Office is doing an audit kind of now with their investigation. So we'll, and you know, there's no end in sight with the bribery investigation. So, yeah. But yeah, everybody's talking about it and promising reform.
Based on your research, and this is for both of you, Dan, let me start with you. Based on your research, should we, as a general rule, pay more attention to who is financing these local races, particularly a mayoral race, and the kind of power a mayor in a big city can wield?
Well, we think it's important. You know, this is public information and information that's supposed to be readily available to voters. And so, you know, from my perspective, I don't care if a reader of the AJC thinks it's a good thing or a bad thing that these companies are giving. That's not for me to decide, but I want to make sure that the information is available to them so that they can draw whatever conclusions they want to.
Yeah. Quick word from you on that, Ryan?
Yeah, I would say really the most important part of this is that in order to get the information that we got, I at the Georgia News Lab, I had to write code to extract the information from the
okay, PDFs. So we can
right.
Yeah.
Not something that the average citizen knows, and that's not at all their fault.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have to know that. That's what we need to be focusing on, right, is that this information is not easily available.
Thank you both. I appreciate it. The AJC reporter Dan Kleppel and Georgia News Lab reporter Ryan Basden with us.